Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome to Focus Today. I'm your host, Perry Atkinson, and I'm always delighted when he gives us the time to have back with us today Dr. Jeff Myers. He's the president of Summit Ministries, and you can go to summit.org. That is their website. An outstanding organization doing a wonderful job. So check it out, summit.org. Dr. Myers, good to see you, friend. How are you?
Good to see you, Perry. How are you?
Great.
Happy Monday.
First of all, give us an update at Summit. What's going on, man?
Well, this is the organization, you have done such a remarkable job helping us get the word out. We equip and support the rising generation to embrace God's truth and champion a biblical worldview. And this summer, we've been doing that through 2-week-long events here in Colorado, also in Georgia and in Kentucky, where young adults 16 to 22 years of age come together for intensive training in biblical worldview, biblical truth, how that applies to the issues of the day and leadership. And we've had a phenomenal summer. Right now, we've got a group here of about 180 students, our last group of the summer, but we will have had 1,700 students trained this year to go into some of the biggest cultural battles of our day. And they are headed off to universities all across the United States, from elite universities in the Ivy League all the way out to top West Coast universities and everything in between. So we are really excited. This is a great crop of young adults. Gen Z could be Gen Free, as one of our instructors, Isabel Brown, puts it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. By the way, folks, again, go to summit.org. That's the website, and check it out. Well, Dr. Myers, it's interesting. You're dealing with young people and a biblical worldview, and yet one of the reports that I read is they're really turned off with evangelicals being too political. So you did a little study on this. Tell us about it.
Well, we've done a number of studies on trying to understand the cultural moment. Our polling has been massive. We've had more than 500 million people check it out just within this last year. Whoa. And so it's really incredible. But we're not a polling company. That's not our job. But we do need to understand the cultural moment to help this rising generation. So, yes, what we're finding, and this is the most recent poll that we've done. People could go to the press room at summit.org. It's right at the top of the page, and all of this is available. But we did this poll with John McLaughlin, who's a reputable pollster. And what we found is that the level of activism among young people has gone way up, 27% up. From what it was just last year. And 16% of people are less involved. Most people are just, same level of involvement they have before. But young adults, way up. Now, there's good news and there's bad news in that. So I'm glad we've got a couple segments to kind of unpack it.
All right. So what has activated them? What motivated them to get active one way or the other?
The ways people say they are becoming more active are the things that we see on the media every day. School board meetings, protests, all of those kinds of things. People count those as aspects of their activism. Now, people are more motivated to vote at this point. It looks like Republicans are more likely to vote than Democrats. So that would play to Republican and presumably conservative candidates a little bit more. However, overall, people who claim to be liberal are far more active than people who claim to be conservative by a lot, like by 13 percentage points. If that translates into voting, then there may not be this Republican wave that people seem to be predicting in the media every day.
Wow. Okay. Is there a demographic area here, or is it across the board?
This is all across the United States. We poll everybody. It's Trump voters. It's Biden voters. In fact, our poll results, we always say plus or minus 4 percentage points in accuracy, but the level of accuracy based on voting trends in the past and other things that we found indicates that we have got a true cross section of the United States of America all over the country. And the people who are most interested in being involved right now are people who are liberal, Democrats, young, minorities, older people, traditional voters, and so forth, are not as motivated as I think a lot of people would like them to be. They seem content to sort of have the Minuteman philosophy. If I need to get involved, I will, but then I need to get back to my regular life.
Okay, so this is interesting, because if the progressive is more motivated than the conservative, and yet the conservatives seem to be more active than the progressives, where's the line here, Coach?
I know. It is, every time you do a poll, you think, man, there are 5 or 6 other questions I wish I would have asked to try to bring some clarity to this.
Yeah, right.
People, what we're finding, Perry, is that people are more interested in what's happening nationally than they have been in the past. There is a higher level of care and concern right now. Now, that's good. That's exactly what we should be see happening in the United States of America. The difficulty is, some of our other poll results have, I'm actually literally scratching my head here to kind of illustrate the point. But some of them we found, for example, when we polled on transgender, 2/3 of people said they believe that transgender is not a normal, healthy lifestyle. 2/3 of Americans, and that's across the board, Democrats, Republicans, Independents. But then we ask them, so how do you process this? And half of those people say, I don't say anything so as not to offend anyone. So what you've kind of got is people who have sort of common sense values, they don't want to make any waves. I don't know if it's fear. It could be fear. We have asked people, are you afraid right now? And quite a few people, up to 1/3 of the population, says they're afraid to say anything because they might lose their jobs or experience social shame. What I would like to see happen, especially among young adults, is that they become the ones who are willing to stand up. Even if they're the only one they know standing up, that's what makes the difference.
That kind of flies in the face of what you're doing at these camps, because you're actually teaching these kids to stand up, or young people, excuse me. You're teaching them to stand up and to be a defender of biblical worldview against those who would say, I don't really want to offend anybody.
You know, we do teach them to do that, and we draw out a little picture for them of a DNA double helix of two strands, and we say one strand is truth, the other strand is relationship. Mm-hmm. So how you stand for the truth is really important, and biblically we see a lot of commands about how we should have a teaching posture, how we should have a posture of compassion, how we should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. So you do want to be the one who stands for truth, but you don't want to be the one who's firebombing things or even just yelling at people. You want to be the one who's engaged in reasonable conversation and helping people understand what's really at stake.
Yeah, I've often said, Dr. Myers, are we willing to lose the argument to save the relationship?
And I think that's an interesting question. It's a tough one. Sometimes you have to be willing to lose the relationship in order to communicate the truth, because people often get angry. They don't like what they hear. We all have to keep in mind that more than half of people now say that truth is up to the individual. Mm. So when you say something like, well, the truth of the matter is, what people hear is, well, that's your truth. That's not necessarily my truth. That what may be true for you might not be true for me. So you constantly have to go back and say, here, this is a fact that relates to this situation. I can give you an example from the issue related to Dobbs. Recently, Whoopi Goldberg and the governor candidate in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, both came out and said that abortion is God's will, that abortion is related to our freedom of choice. And an important statistic that often gets overlooked in that particular issue is that 75% of women who've gone to get an abortion say they did so because someone else pressured them to do it. Is that really freedom of choice?
Mm. Wow. What did your research show about Christians becoming active in civics?
You know, I should have gone more deeply into the crosstabs. I should have anticipated that you would ask that question. it does seem that Christian involvement is strong, but there are a lot of Christians who are in their workplace or in their university who know that, you know, people who are in sort of in the progressive camp think that Christians getting involved is awful. They call it Christian nationalism, which is a term that I'm still struggling to understand because I don't know anybody who fits the category as the category has been described to me. But they feel like, wow, if I say something now, people are going to condemn me. So what we do is we teach people to talk about the talk. If you say, well, I'm a Christian, and are you involved in politics? Yes, I vote. I get involved. I try to understand the issues. Well, that's awful. Christians should not be doing that. And then you just start asking questions. Well, tell me why you say that. You know, what's going on behind that? How do you know that Christians should not be involved? How do you know that Christian involvement is bad? Give me the facts behind that. And then even to say things like, you know, I was a little nervous to have this conversation with you because I thought that you might take a condemning posture, but you know, this really isn't about me. Can we talk about why you feel so angry? You know, those sorts of questions are really important to maintaining the relationship, but also getting truth across and not letting yourself be bullied by people just because they have a different viewpoint.
As you were surveying people, Dr. Meyer, did you sense that people were afraid that we've gone too far and stuff?
I'm not sure what you mean exactly by having gone too far.
Well, I mean, let's take a look at the transgender issue. Have we gone too far? Have we gone too far in left and right? And you know what I'm saying? Have we gotten to the point where we're so polarized? Is there potential healing here or not? Are they afraid of that or what?
I don't know. I think the American people, this was the one survey result that was most startling to me. 85% of Americans say they believe that unity is no longer possible. 85%.
Whoa. Wow.
So what seems to be happening is that people are getting involved, but they do not believe they're getting involved to help promote national unity. They're getting involved to promote their particular viewpoint. And it's kind of what I anticipate is kind of a pitched battle between people who've forsaken the idea that it's even possible to agree anymore. They're just going to get their viewpoint across, which would be totally consistent with this realization that people now believe truth is up to the individual. Truth is up to the individual. There's no common truth out there to be discovered. Then you're not looking any longer to win people over. You're just trying to dominate them. You know, as the law professor Stanley Fish said, you are entitled to your own facts if you can make them stick. That's what's happening right now. So that's the upside and the downside of there's growing involvement, but it's primarily because people seem to be preparing for a pitched battle.
Were you able to walk away as to figure out why everybody's so angry?
We have asked a lot of questions about people's anger and why do we have this current division? Most Americans place the blame at the feet of politicians. Most others place the blame at the feet of what they call the media, the mainstream media, the traditional media. A lot of people place the blame at the feet of social media. I think social media is probably more of a culprit than most people realize, because these platforms like Facebook and Twitter and others are specifically designed in the algorithms they use to promote conflict. They have figured out how to monetize conflict. So if you have a post that expresses indignance, then you are going to get 2.5 or so times as many likes because your post will be promoted. Mm-hmm. And then you know, your viewpoint, then what you see in the future is, oh, well, you think you're mad about that issue. Well, here's another issue you should be mad about. And it actually monetizes and promotes anger. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we have to take some responsibility for this ourselves. If we give up the idea that truth actually exists and can be discovered, even though it's difficult, if we give up on that idea, then it's not possible to ever really attain unity. You're just going to have competing viewpoints, and the loudest voices will win.
No, well, let me take a break here. Come back. This is fascinating. Have you made known the results of this?
Yes, we have. We've had quite a few articles, and it's been covered everywhere. Our polls have been covered everywhere, from Tucker Carlson to Hannity to, you know, Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, and quite a few others. So the word is starting to get out, and people are starting to pay attention to what the social fabric really is and what might be at risk.
Okay. We'll be right back. What a delight to have back with us Dr. Jeff Myers. He's president of Summit Ministries. By the way, you can go to summit.org. This organization is frontline warriors helping young people and college students to get a grip. Go there and help them. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. What a delight and an honor to have back with us today Dr. Jeff Meyer. He's the president of Summit Ministries. You can go to summit.org. Dr. Myers is heads up some great camps throughout the year. In fact, got one going on right now, helping college students be equipped with a biblical worldview. They just recently completed a civic and political activism research on the culture. Pretty interesting results. We're talking about some of that. Dr. Myers, did your research show a concern about censorship?
We've done polls in the past, Perry, that relate to censorship and cancel culture. And that's a subject that you and I've talked about on this show several times. But it wasn't in our most recent poll, but it is something that Americans are deeply concerned about. They're afraid that they might be canceled. They're afraid that if they speak out, that their voice will somehow be squelched. But that's because people think that their biggest voice today is in social media. It's not true. Your biggest voice is with your friends, when you are with people you know and love, having those conversations with family members and children and grandchildren. Those are the keys. That never has really changed. But we sometimes think that, oh, well, if I can do a social media post to get 400 likes, then surely that's my biggest voice. But it isn't. The more personal, the better.
If 85% of those you surveyed said that we can't have unity, that's way past center.
Yeah,
that's way past center. So what do we do? How did that leave you when you found out that we can't be unified again?
Well, it left me thinking that there's sort of it doesn't have to do with geographical borders necessarily or geographical concerns, although the red state, blue state phenomenon is a real thing, that people are sort of, it's sort of like a civil war of values, a civil war of ideas that seems to be taking place. And people are either intent to win or make sure that they are not dominated in this. Maybe that's probably a better way to put it. They want to make sure that people who hold viewpoints like theirs don't get crushed in the process. And anytime you think if you take that mindset, then a whole lot of things make sense. Like, there are a lot of people who are very happy about the Dobbs decision. There are a lot of people who are very angry about the Dobbs decision. But what they seem to be concerned about most is that the viewpoint they hold will somehow be marginalized. which is exactly what you would expect to have if people have given up on the idea that you can find truth. They no longer say, let's go seek the truth. They see, I want to make sure that I don't lose my voice to speak my truth. Oh. See the distinction there? So what will happen? Will that turn into some kind of a civil war? I don't know. In many ways, Republicans and Democrats as parties have become the proxy for a deeper values war that appears to be taking place in the United States. And it's to the point where people say, I'm not even going to bother trying to persuade anyone else because they're beyond persuasion. And you know what, Perry, that may be true for a certain number of people. But, whatever direction you want to take the conversation, I'm happy to go there. But it does seem like about 5 to 8% of people in America are just real jerks. They're not open to persuasion. They say that they respond to conflict by cutting people out of their lives, things like that. But that's a tiny percentage of the American population. I mean, that's even less than the percentage of people who, believe they've been captured by a UFO or whatever. So it's that 5 to 8% of people who are making everybody else afraid. And it reminds me, yesterday my wife and I were reading Isaiah 30, and it says that you're going to experience such fear that one person will put 1,000 to flight. And that seems to be what is happening right now, is there are a handful of very angry, strong voices, and everybody else is just saying, well, it's not worth it. I mean, I don't need this in my life to be attacked by other people. But they're forgetting the fact that most civic engagement really happens around a cup of coffee or at a breakfast table or at a dinner table or at a cookout with your friends when issues come up and you say, we might not agree on this, but it's really important to have the conversation. So thank you for being willing to share what you think. And I hope that I have the opportunity to share what I think as well.
This division, Dr. Myers, has also crept into the church, as you well know. I have watched and actually been very mindful of, over the last year, 6 major denominations have split. And I can name them. You know them. They have split.
Yeah.
And they split over this stuff. Where does that leave us as a body of believers?
I think we almost need to take it issue by issue. A lot of the splits in the denominations over the last year, I'm thinking right now of the United Methodist Church, have been over the issue of the role of same-sex attracted people or transgender, LGBTQ in the church. And I'm not sure that either, because I know people on both sides of this. I actually have a high school friend who is one of the United Methodist ministers who, said, good riddance to all you people. You're anti-LGBTQ and all of that. So I kind of have a little bit of an inside track on some of this. Neither side seems willing to really deal with what the issues actually are. So they just posture. Oh, well, you don't think that gay people have a place in the church. That means you're anti-LGBTQ. That means you are evil. So therefore, we won't talk to you. We won't try to figure out why you hold the views that you hold. We won't try to figure out together what does sexual integrity look like. And Perry, one of the deepest questions that seems to be dividing people right now that we haven't even begun to ask is, what did Jesus come to earth to do? Did Jesus come to earth just to be a social justice warrior? Did Jesus come to earth just to highlight poverty and oppression and bring about a revolution? Did Jesus come to earth to make us feel good about ourselves? Did Jesus come to earth to help us discover our own truth? Or did Jesus come to rescue us from our sins? And then when we have rescue and we are reconciled to the Father, then we have the spiritual resources to begin to pursue holiness and to live in community in the body of Christ in a way that enables us to grow stronger spiritually and physically and mentally in every other way, and to help other people do the same. I actually think that the core battle in the church is over what did Jesus come to do.
That is beautiful. Thank you for simplifying it, because I'm amazed how far off on these tangents we get. I'm going to ask you one question before I run out of time. This is a big one, and I forgive me if I get off in the weeds here, but it's a phenomenon to me. All you have to do is mention TRUMP, and everybody goes ballistic to the point where they check their brain out. There is no objectivity. You can't talk reasonably. You can't talk objectively. What is it? Do you have any idea what that? What is it?
I do have a theory about this, and I have been testing this all summer with my students.
Okay.
When you start with the idea that truth is not objectively accessible to us, so you don't seek the truth, you only speak your truth. When you start with that idea, then you have to begin with personalities because there's no other truth.
All right, let me say this to our viewers and listeners. Go to summit.org. What Dr. Myers is doing there through the summer, actually all year long, they have these camps with young college students. And it's amazing. As he said, he's already had 1,700 students this year go through their camps. They're involved in one currently as we speak. And they'll go on periodically throughout the year. And they're very objective in what they do and how they approach this. So check it out, summit.org. You can go there and maybe check out the schedules. And if you feel led, you can certainly support what they do. As you can see, that Dr. Myers and his crew, they are really dedicated and in their calling. So we appreciate that. Summit.org.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. And join us next Thursday and every Thursday to catch the latest episode. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.